It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
For the final time this week, Jay Mars is with us. Christopher Laud will be in starting tomorrow.
You lose me, you lose your Amick, you gain a Chris. The other Chris is back from timeout.
Lose my Amick.
Amick.
Sam?
Yeah.
How are we losing Sam?
He's not on after today.
Oh, is that right?
Well, he's not on tomorrow. I don't know about any
timeout. Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah, although Sam's time with us is coming to an end for this season. That's right. I think we'll talk to him maybe one more time after the draft.
We need to find something out here soon. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing on Twitter that 50 Cent corn dogs via Sonic the Hedgehog today. I need to know where those are at.
Via Sonic the Hedgehog?
It's Sonic the Hedgehog with corn dogs. Maybe it's Sonic the restaurant?
Yeah, I would think it would be.
But I'm seeing Sonic the Hedgehog with corn dogs. I'm
a huge corn dog guy.
Oh, I love corn dogs.
I don't eat enough of them.
That's probably not the bad thing.
They said the average American eats, I think it's 12 and a half hot dogs a year. Or no.
That seems remarkably low.
Maybe I got that wrong. I remember the number and I was like, was it maybe 70?
A year or a sitting?
A year.
That it can't be 12 and a half. That's
yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Gotta be higher.
There's no way the average American averages one hot dog a month. I don't believe that.
You think it's more?
Higher. Yes.
Really? How many hot dogs have you had this month?
This month alone?
Yeah, in July. Well, that sucks because it's July.
Yeah, I say at least four.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the last
dude.
Well, we had a hot dog
is about as American as you get.
I think July is the high month for me, at least, and probably for the rest of the country on hot dogs.
July and
September,
then September for Labor
May.
Day. Yeah,
those are probably the three hot dog heavy months. I know I had a bunch of. I had more than my share when we were in Oregon because we had these tiny little barbecues, disposable barbecues we took to the beach, and all you can do on those is hot dogs. So I probably had on over 10 days, I probably had like five. But I don't think.
Only five over 10 days.
That's a lot. That's two.
Five hot dogs over 10 days?
That's a hot dog every other day.
Yeah, a hot dog. You're trying to tell me you only ate a hot dog on those
no,
days?
No, no, no. I think
just one.
I think I had a hot dog one day because we did them at the house. And then I think I had two hot dogs each when we were on the beach.
That's it?
Yeah. You know, contrary to popular belief.
King dog guy, you're trying to tell me King, one hot dog?
Yeah. Did you notice, Jay, in the poll, it wasn't King dogs? Contrary to popular belief, I can't eat a lot at one sitting. I'm a notoriously slow eater.
Really?
Very.
Never
very,
took you for that.
Always the last guy at the table eating. Always in every circumstance. I can't.
Sure.
I chew my food ton.
I've never taken that, though, as you would not get a second helping of hot dog.
I did in two occasions during the trip. I'm saying I had two hot dogs, but I would say if I had to guess.
I'm calling malarkey.
Yeah, well, could you call Sam, too? I would say as a guess, I would say I probably eat between 12 and 15 hot dogs a year. A year. A year. And that's over a hot dog a month.
I'm excited to get Sam's take on this.
Let me ask you this. Over under, I know he's about to pick up. Over under, how many hot dogs does Sam think he eats a year?
Probably under 12.
Under 12. I'm going to go with the under two. Although Sam does have two. I believe I think both his kids are teenagers now. Anyway, I'm just saying. I think that's a little over. From the 916, King Dog Guy also backs into parking spots. These are excellent references, by the way.
I'm not a King Dog Guy, and I backed into my parking spot this morning. Can you text our friend Sam?
I
think
will.
He's avoiding us again. Did you confirm with him yesterday?
I did.
Okay.
From the 530, by now I'll bet Americans are eating more tacos than hot dogs.
That's true.
You think so?
Yeah, Taco Tuesday and tacos in general have just kind of taken over. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Tacos are one of the great pleasures in life.
I don't buy that.
Really?
Except for this. You have Taco Bell and Del Taco. By the way, if you're just tuning in and wondering why we're doing this and not talking sports, it's because we're just quickly vamping until we get Sam. Because you have Taco Bell and you have Del Taco, amongst others.
Yeah, you don't have Hot Dog Bell anywhere.
Sam's ready.
Okay, cool.
You're right. You have what? You have Wiener Schnitzel? I mean, I know you can get hot dogs in other places, but really, isn't the only hot dog place Wiener Schnitzel? I'm not talking about the hot dog stand by your house or the one that you eat up at Grass Valley. I'm talking about readily available hot dog places. I don't even know where else you can get a hot dog except at a ball game other than Wiener Schnitzel. I'm really going to be sad if one of our sponsors like specializes in hot dogs and I'm forgetting it right now, but I'm truly trying to think it through. I think people absolutely, to answer the question on the text line, I think people absolutely eat more burgers than hot dogs. Oh, for sure. And yes, a brat is a hot dog, a Polish sausage, anything tube-shaped with meat is a hot dog.
Wow, did I just walk into that?
Bratwurst, Frankfurter.
All I heard was tube-shaped.
I know what you heard.
Interesting.
But wouldn't you agree? Bratwurst, polar sausage, hot.
Polar sausage. You from New York?
They're all hot dogs.
Easy there, Francesca.
They all go in the line of hot dogs.
Francesca.
We're talking about the gorilla.
The polar hot dogs.
Well, let's find out. Let's start out answering the question from The Athletic. One of, I believe, 11 media members to vote for the NBA Finals MVP. We'll talk about that in a second. Easily, if you made a Mount Rushmore of NBA writers, Sam would absolutely be on it right now. We're going to start off with a question befitting a man of his stature. We have a bet going, Sam, over or under Sam Amick consuming, let's say 12 and a half hot dogs per year.
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Probably I'm going to say the over.
Yeah.
We got it wrong, David.
We both had the under. But I did say the caveat that you have two young boys that also you got sports and all that rotating around that maybe, just maybe, it might go over. A lot over?
No, not a lot. But I do. I have a weird occasional habit of, you know, when I'm home looking for lunch options, you know, we'll pick up turkey dogs and throw them in the toaster on broil mode. And then if I do that, like, that's two in one sitting for lunch. So it's not going to be hard to get to 12 over the course of a year.
Oh, well, let's move past the turkey dog thing. But wait, you put it in the toaster?
I knew you were going to get hung up on that. First of all, and don't worry, I'll play catch up quick. I should have set the alarm more than 3 minutes before our conversation, because the cobwebs are coming off.
I love this.
I know. You know how I am when I get home from the road. But yes, the toaster has a broil mode if I don't feel like firing up the barbecue.
Toaster oven.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not placing the hot dog into a
that's what I thought. I was like, that's genius. Okay, so you're in the toaster oven on broil. Have you ever consumed a hot dog by putting the hot dog in a tall glass, filling it with water, and throwing it in the microwave for 3 minutes?
No.
Good.
I'm just saying it works. What are you going to do? Boil out the flavor, Jay?
Oh, God. We're not doing this. We need to talk some hoops.
All right. Real quick, just to finish up, this is why I brought it up originally. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, the NHDSC, by the way, is what I call it, the average American consumes 70 hot dogs per year. I call BS. No way, dude. 70?
There's no way.
No.
So that's where I was confused. So you put my over under at 12. Like, what number are you guys coming in at?
I said I'm probably around 15 hot dogs a year. Apparently, yeah. Jay's at like 59.
That's an exaggeration. Wow. It was closer to 51, but geez. We don't have to sensationalize.
this whole conversation, all I can think of is that meme on the phone where all the hot dogs are falling on a guy's face.
Oh, is that? Oh,
I know. Damn it, Sam.
Yeah, I know the BB stuff.
I do too.
I don't even know what it means. I know how I've used it, but I have no idea what that meme means. And I am pulling the cord. I'm letting the parachute go up, and I'm exiting the conversation.
I was going to say, I want you to give me a good hot dog to NBA transition. Go.
Speaking of American traditions, the Milwaukee Bucks, thank you, beat the Phoenix Suns. Sam Amick was there. He had a fine seat to watch the whole thing. Sam, I guess I'll start out with a softball question. We made light and had fun with your budding relationship, and in all truth, some of the questions you asked to really help open up the personality of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But when you look at Giannis right now, and I mean right now, in the moment, is this right now his NBA, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild how that happens because, I mean, listen, first of all, credit to him. It's like he was so wonderful and so spectacular in the finals on the court that it superseded and kind of transcended everything that came before, meaning like, you know how we are in the media and the fans that like everybody nitpicks where, I mean, nothing's changed about the different breaks that the Bucks got along the way. You know what I mean? All the players that were hurt, you know, Kyrie going down, things of that nature. But what I do think is cool is that Giannis was so great that everybody stopped talking about that because you kind of just said, like, you know what? It's the finals. Phoenix was healthy. Phoenix was really good. And Giannis was amazing. And, you know, doing historical stuff in the kind of way that you do then have to talk about, where does he fit in the NBA? So, no, I mean, it's not his NBA, but he's the guy right now. You know what I mean? And the optics of him completing that incredible alley-oop dunk while LeBron sits courtside, you know, kind of relegated to sipping tequila while watching the NBA Finals was symbolic in a lot of ways. The fact that Giannis is 26 years old, which is, I think sometimes you think he's been around longer than he has, but he's still just getting started and got two MVPs and a championship and a Defensive Player of the Year award and 5 All-Star appearances. So, yeah, I mean, he suddenly vaulted back into that conversation about, you know, top three in the NBA and who's on top.
Sam Amick from The Athletic joining us. Sam, I'm glad you mentioned LeBron because I said to Dave earlier, nothing signals the official NBA offseason opening as LA media member putting it out there. Hey, Laker fans, which guy would you like to see coming to Los Angeles? Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul? To me, it signals that the offseason has started when we start getting into those conversations. When you look at the top of both the West and the East, Sam, going into the offseason, which team do you think has the most issues that need to be addressed?
Jay, you got me stuck on the LeBron part. You said which team in the West?
West or East, either at the top. Who do you think has the most issues that need to be addressed?
Oh, I think it's the Lakers and the Clippers, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, with Kawhi, it's like, all right, if Kawhi's a weirdo in terms of, like, the fact that we can't ever read his mind, and so I think he's going back to the Clippers, but it's the NBA, who knows? So let's say that happens. You know, they then have to figure out, you know, what other pieces they need or what they need to do to get over the top. And obviously, if Kawhi was healthy during the playoffs, that would have been a game changer. But the Lakers, similarly, as much as, you know, the LeBron AD thing is wonderful, they're going to be aggressive. And some of the rumors you're seeing are the product of, you know, they are going for it again. And the tie-in there is that, you know, the Lakers have not forgotten that for a moment in free agency 2 years ago, you know, they thought they had Kawhi as well, in addition to LeBron and AD. So I think that mentality of like, yeah, it might look unlikely that they could get another star in terms of the cap and in terms of, you know, trade possibilities and what they could do, they're going to go for it. You know, if Portland finally signals that Damian is available, they're going to go for it. So those teams come to mind. You know, out East, to me, Brooklyn's just you know, try it again with the three stars and keep them healthy. You know, Milwaukee's obviously wonderful, and they got role player free agency stuff to figure out. But I think Lakers and Clippers come to mind.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us. Sam, do you think Kawhi's injury takes away some of the drama we might have seen with him this summer, the possibility of opting out? Or do you still think we get Kawhi, Uncle Dennis drama?
I still think he opts out just because it's typically what guys do in their prime is to secure, you know, the next bag. And in terms of drama, I just don't know. I mean, it was, I guess, my only instinct about drama or weirdness is that it just was strange at the end how, and it, you know, I think it was reported elsewhere, and I didn't write it, but you certainly heard it, like the way that he handled his injury and the somewhat, what seemed to be the somewhat distant kind of communication style between him and the team was a little bit reminiscent of his San Antonio days. And it's just hard not to connect those dots and just kind of wonder why. Like, why were you seemingly distancing yourself from this group that we thought you were going to be a part of for the next 10 years? So we'll see. I've also just kind of reached the point career-wise where you expect the unexpected at least once every free agency period. So, you know, just I've been shocked before, and I expected to get shocked again.
Sam, speaking of guys with player options, Chris Paul has a massive one. So a possible two-part question here. A, do you expect Chris Paul to opt out of that option? And B, if he does, do you still think the Suns would be the favorite team to re-sign him?
Yes and yes. His tone the other day, I did all the Bucks post-game media stuff because I was writing off the championship from them, and I didn't go to the Suns press conferences. But on the way home yesterday on the plane, I actually went back and watched Chris's comments to just get a sense of where his head was at. And to me, he 100% sounds like a guy who's going to come back. You know, he talked about lessons that they could carry forward in the future based on losing in the finals. And, you know, and then once he was pressed on the contract situation, he said what every guy typically says, which is, you know, I just lost this game. I'm just processing and, you know, I'll figure that out later. It'll figure itself out. But, you know, I think he'll stick around because some of these other options that have been talked about, written about, they just don't make sense. I mean, the Lakers one would be storybook in terms of, you know, not only him playing with his buddy LeBron, but, you know, you go back to 2012 and the vetoed trade, you know, where Chris would have been in a Lakers jersey and David Stern shot that down. Like, okay, great. Be a great story for him, but he literally would have to like cut his salary and 75% down. And as the president of the players union, that's just not going to happen. Based on his personality, that's not going to happen. And I could be wrong. Maybe there's some miraculous sign and trade possibility that he could concoct, but I'm not seeing it right now.
Sam Amick joining us. You know, we have talked about and celebrated, and rightfully so, Giannis Antetokounmpo and his championship tour, if yesterday is any judge, is just going to be an absolute blast. But in talking about the Suns, Sam, they were just a game and a half, really, short of being the NBA champions themselves, and they were a far bigger underdog going into the season than the Bucks. If Giannis Antetokounmpo won the NBA season in the hearts of people that got to know him even more, fair to say Monty Williams is right there as far as what we learned about him. Many knew about him before, but just seeing him handling his team, seeing him handle his press conferences, seeing him in the Milwaukee locker room, I don't know a single person that pays any attention to the NBA at this point, Sam, that rightfully so doesn't say, I want Monty Williams as my friend, and he might be the coolest, nicest, best person on the planet.
Yes, to all of that. I mean, he was wonderful. I enjoyed it because, you know, listen, I love it when I am able to write a story that goes off the court. And you know that about me, and I don't do it as much as I used to. And so when I wrote about him last year and touched on a lot of the stuff that people saw in the finals, like it was for me personally, it was a through line that I enjoyed because you kind of felt like, damn, like, yeah, not that we didn't already know he was a special dude, but it's like, tried to capture that, you know, last season, and you're like, yeah, got it right then, and my goodness, is it still correct now? And what I loved as a reporter, guys, is like, in general, for Monty and beyond, is that honestly, every person in this series was so genuine when they talked to the media. And I don't know, this is a deeper, longer conversation, but like the media group, as you guys know, I think was smaller because of COVID.
Right.
You're talking 15 to 18 reporters in the room. And I've told the NBA this, that, you know, listen, I know, you know, things are going to go back to normal at some point, but there's something to be said for the intimacy of the conversations that took place where you establish some rapport among everybody. And Monty in particular, like yesterday, Rachel Nichols is the one who asked him near the end, you know, how are you processing this? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I was watching that thinking to myself, like the question in and of itself was very straightforward, right? Like nothing all that unorthodox about it. But they know each other really well. And it's just like, damn, like the way, and he had been asked about that once before. So I think something about getting asked about it twice, and then the fact that he does have a relationship with her, and you just hear his voice crack, and you know, he's like almost kind of whispering into the microphone about how much it hurts. Like that, the realness of it was incredible. And again, from the media side, was like that. It's weird to say fun. I'm not reveling in Monty's pain, but like you're covering real people. It's not, you know, there was so much less in these finals of, you know, James Harden, I'm not to pick on him, but like, you know, rolling his eyes at a question or even Chris Paul in years past where it would be edgy and it would be like this annoyance with the media. I really enjoyed the fact that it was like, you know, people talked, people opened up. And guess what? It's not about us. Like the fans benefited as a result. I think they learned about these people in ways that they might not have otherwise.
That is Sam Amick. Sam, you've given us so much, so I will leave you today with this. Americans eat 4.5 billion tacos per year. Americans eat 20 billion hot dogs per year. So that is simple math, almost five times. And apparently the country that eats the most tacos per capita is not the United States. It's not Mexico. And you can look this up yourself. Apparently the country that eats the most tacos in the world per capita is Norway during, amongst others, Taco Friday, which is a tradition over there now, Sam. So you learn something every day.
That's pretty deep stuff. I know we got to go, guys. My last thought, and we should talk about it some other time. I got to tell you, not to get sappy, because you and Kings fans won a championship more than anything ever, right?
Yes, yes.
And then, Dave, I saw your tweets about, you know, what it would be like. I thought about you yesterday because I stuck around in Milwaukee and took a late flight. And I'll give you the short version of the story. I had brunch with a colleague, Eric Name, who covers the Bucks, and then a good friend of his who is like the unofficial mayor of Milwaukee. I swear he knows everybody in the town. Everywhere we would go, you know, it was free meals and hellos. And sitting outside, you know, on the streets of Milwaukee the day after they won the title, literally people like there from a block away screaming at each other in joy and you know, we effing did it. We effing did it. It was wild. And it, you know, the part of me that does have a soft spot for Sacramento after all these years is just like, damn, man, one of these days, oh, you know, who knows?
It would be insane. And I just hope it happens while I'm alive.
Sure.
But either way, you hit on it. A lot of Sacramento fans, as they do every year, wondered what it was like, what it would be like when that final buzzer sounded. But something about Milwaukee, I think, made a lot of Kings fans think that, hey, yes, if it can happen there, it can happen here. So
that was, yeah, that was my thought too. And even some of the qualities of the city, to be honest, there's a few through lines there. But it was neat to see. It was really neat to see. It was not something that they're going to be taking for granted. Those people are going to be walking on air for a long time now.
That is Sam Amick of The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com. They always have fantastic subscription deals. And obviously, with quality like Sam or Matt Barrows, who we'll be talking to here very soon on a regular basis, Jason Jones, and so many more, not just local, but national flavor as well, theathletic.com. Sam, thank you. Glad you could spend a little bit of time, I hope, with the family. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. That is Sam Amick. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All righty. When we come back, we're going to do Once in a Blue Moon. And Jay has a pretty fantastic, pretty crazy stat he's going to share with you. Olympic-related, women's soccer-related. But before that, I want to go back and talk about something Sam kind of slipped out towards the end there that caught my ear, having to do with Rachel Nichols, that I think is absolutely fascinating. We'll do all that right after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
All right, Dave has a little tidbit from Sam. A couple quick Kings items, though. Can I do that? Rashawn Holmes, Shams Charania just tweeted out. They have a nice little interview up that just went up. Mavs and Hornets reported to have a lot of interest in Rashawn.
Also tweeting with LeBron James yesterday with Rashawn Holmes.
And then the Ringer in their latest mock draft noted that Monty McNair has been shopping that number 9 pick for players that could help now. Maybe the worst kept secret in the world.
Yeah. And it sure does look like, if you believe the draft reports, that the favorites, if they keep the pick, are Franz Wagner and Moses Moody, probably in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with the Kings picking 9th, a lot of that might be determined by what happens above them.
Of course.
Also, and we mentioned this last week, also appears that Scotty Barnes of Florida State has overtaken Jonathan Kuminga for that 5 spot. And they say that Kuminga could possibly drop as low as 10?
That is interesting for a guy who, correct me if I'm wrong, was on the elite team, the G League, the Ignite team, excuse me. It was considered a consensus top 5.
Absolutely.
I wonder why, though.
He had a real up and down year.
I know, but
the potential is there. Honestly, I think maybe the two most, to me at least, and you can make arguments for others, the two most intriguing players in this draft, to me, are Jonathan Kuminga and Zaire Williams.
Yeah, Zaire's interesting.
Very interesting.
Zaire's, I think, you know, was he projected in the late teens now?
Yes.
All the talent in the world.
And coming into the season was right there. And this is a high school phenom. And, you know, in reading some deep dives on him with COVID, with the way the Stanford team was housed, he had an injury. It's really difficult to get a bead on him. And let's be honest too. You know, listen, I don't want to go overboard on this, but when we have players come, especially in the NBA draft, where it really is such a science, when you have a player that goes to a school like Stanford, I always take a couple things with a grain of salt, because there are schools that have far more stringent academic requirements than other schools, far more responsibilities. And at times, and this just comes through talking to some of those players that went to those schools and also talking to players that went to basketball factories, it does create a real difference in sleep patterns, in time, practice time, weight room time, different things, where sometimes you'll see players come out from schools that are more academically focused classically and end up having surprisingly good careers. Because you this is where I really do admire front offices and scouts, because they have to see through all this and try to determine, will this translate to the NBA, and will this player's game translate worse?
Mm-hmm.
As we see many times in college. Heck, if it was all about how they did in college, you know, Sean May would have been a top 5 pick.
The Kings would have an NBA championship team.
They would.
Jimmer Fredette would be the leading scorer every year.
Jimmer Fredette, Tyler Hansbrough, you know, Luka Garza this year, who's projected to go at the end of the second round.
J.J. Redick would be a 15-time All-Star.
Every year you have a handful of college players that either go second round or don't get drafted that were amazing in college. But imagine being a scout and looking at somebody put up those types of numbers and go, that's not going to translate.
Not at the NBA level.
And imagine being a scout and looking at a guy who is like the fourth option on, you know, whatever team and going, that's the dude. And you know what? A lot of time, more often than not, they're right.
Yeah.
So I really do. You know, we all think we can draft better than everybody else, but my goodness, the amount of work and science they put into it. Before we get to Once in Blue Moon, I just wanted to note, it caught my ear when Sam said it. He referred to the question Rachel Nichols asked Monty Williams as how was he processing the loss. And that led to the quote we played yesterday, which was Monty giving a long, very concise, and very emotional answer. One of the, I won't say better, one of the better quote moments, I would say, of, you know, that stuck with me. You know, it was Giannis and the super teams, but then to me it was Monty talking about how, you know, real human moment. We talked earlier in the week about how great of a job the reporters were doing in most cases in setting up these players to spike questions and really get behind the scenes. What I found interesting is that when we played the Coach Monty response yesterday, it was just his response. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who asked the question. But I do know that Rachel Nichols asked a similar question to Chris Paul, and we played that as well. And Rachel has been getting... Now, listen, the whole Rachel ESPN saga, this is not me defending that. I'm literally trying to shove that aside for a second because I find it interesting in the climate that Rachel Nichols has found herself in now. When she asked Chris Paul the question, a little too directly, how does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
That's all over the place, and Rachel's getting completely dragged. It took Sam, maybe you knew, I didn't. It took Sam, who was in the room, pointing out that Rachel also asked the question that got one of the better answers of all the post games. But nobody knows that.
Also, we don't know how the question was asked.
We don't.
Or if it was asked prior to her asking Chris the question.
Well, and he also mentioned, obviously, Rachel had a relationship with Monty. They know each other. She can ask those questions. Well, she also has that with Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
She's interviewed him many, many, many times. I'm not here to defend anything Rachel has or hasn't done. It's a completely different conversation. I just like to see stuff contextualized and be fair. If she's going to get dragged for the Chris Paul question, because it's du jour right now to drag her...
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps rightfully so. In fact, I would say rightfully so.
Right.
But on the other hand, let's also include the context that she was also responsible for a very, well, Monty was responsible.
Mm-hmm.
She set that question up. I just find it interesting how we report on one thing but don't report on the other.
Well, again, you need the context of her asking the question, first of all, because
sure,
to your point, we didn't know. And now that you know, you can put it all in proper context. So that does factor in.
I'd like some stats and info put in proper context. Here's Once in a Blue Moon.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
The U.S. women's national soccer team lost to Sweden.
Oh, okay.
3-0 in their opening game at the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah.
It's their first loss since January of 2019, snapping a 44-match unbeaten streak. The 3-goal loss to Sweden is tied for the United States women national team's second worst loss in major tournaments. Blow up the women's national team, I say.
Let me tell you something.
Restart it.
That, first off, 3-0 is a blowout.
3-0.
It's a blowout. Secondly, that women's national team is as dominant a national team in any sport other than basketball. I mean, it really is probably the most equivalent would be the men's basketball dream team eras as far as dominance. That's pretty shocking. When you talk about not losing in 44 matches, now they can still make it to the knockout round in the medal match. In 2008, they lost to Norway 2-0 before going on to win the gold. They, I believe, are still, I'm sure, the overwhelming favorites to win the whole thing. Also, I would normally be rooting for them anyway, as I am a truly not a fan of them because, hey, the girls are good. I'm a fan of them because it's a hell of a soccer team.
Sure.
And they kick all kinds of butt. I'm also an extra fan of them this year just for the, well, they couldn't play. They got beat because they're too worried about politics.
Yeah, and tweeting about it. Put your phone down and put your foot on the ball, ladies.
I would love nothing more. Nothing,
nothing more?
Well, okay.
I think there's a few things.
I would love a few things more.
King Dogs returning to Golden One Center.
I just like I like seeing that crowd get owned.
Get a little triggered, maybe?
Yes, I'm here for that. I love it. I would like for that crowd to have a 44-match losing streak. I'm 1,000,000,000% for that. Olympics open tomorrow officially, the opening ceremonies, in which my wife will be watching them walk around the track with the little flags in their hands and all that, because that's what she enjoys. Well, I enjoy saving money, Jay. I enjoy great deals. There's only, one place I can go for all of that. Get a fine, fine vehicle indeed. Yeah, I was on the Hoblet website last night, hobletdodge.com. I was on my phone. Because since I got back from my little trip to Oregon, I've been daydreaming about getting a boat, fishing boat, go troll for salmon. That's not a euphemism. I mean that. Looking at all the deals they have up at Hoblet. I've been on the website in a couple months. They have, seriously. I don't know if it's because summer's at the second half or what the deal is, but man, a lot of deals on not just trucks, but Jeeps as well, all kinds of vehicles. Right now, it's a summer sales event, Dodge summer sales event at Hoblet. The deals are all over the place good, but specifically, how about this? Up to $5,000 off MSRP on the new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorn or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on those new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s. Hey, 2.49% financing for 84 months. That's thousands in available savings. Only at Hoblet. On new 2021 Ram 15, 25, and 3500s. I told you about HobletDodge.com, where you can do so many different things. You can shop online and get financing, get the vehicle delivered. Virtual walk-arounds, virtual test drives, or even like me, just look at the cars. All the pictures they have, the deals. J.D. Power Customer Service Award winners for excellence. No hassle, no pressure, ever, dealership. But Hoblet Dodge, HoblettDodge.com. Best prices, best selection, period. Yeah. Take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Final segment. Got a what's on tap. Got a crossover, and we'll have a couple other things for you. We wrap up the program. Don't go away next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh.
It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Attachment.
What?
Attachment.
I don't even know. Give me a context, please.
Don't grow attached to people.
Is this a Rashawn Holmes thing?
Sort of. And me.
Oh, and you. That's right. Christopher Laud joins the show starting tomorrow.
Are we going to make that announcement before the show's over of why, where I'm going? And
I'm going to leave it to you, Jay. It's your life. As Jon Bon Jovi once said, it's now or never. We ain't going to live forever.
You want to choose now, then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Can I get the drum roll?
Let's see. Can you get the drum roll? It depends on if I can find the drum roll, which is in like a weird part of my soundboard. Like I have
Trucky Ducky Quack Quack.
I have that. I have a I could give you the E40. Give you that. Here we go. Jay Mars.
Where, oh, where in the world is Jay going? And why? Tomorrow, David. Are we taking a day off?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a babysitter for my son.
Wait.
I have no one to watch Isaiah tomorrow. Chris will be joining Friday. I'll be back Monday.
I'm finding this just like I found out at our little station event yesterday, out of the blue, from Chris Verlade that he was joining the show tomorrow. And then Jason comes up to me as Chris is telling me, says, "Oh, hey, by the way, I'm finding out live on the air with all of you that Jay, you're taking a day off tomorrow because you can't find a babysitter." Really?
Someone has to watch the kid. Can't watch himself.
But
he's 5 and a half, bro. Don't even try to say he's of age.
Oh, no. To watch himself? No, that would be... what would that be? Hold on. That,
100% dead ass wrong.
Yeah, that would be wrong. But... why not just listen? Let me say this first and foremost. I and you know this is true behind the scenes. I am a champion for you to take days off. I want you to take days off. I encourage you taking more time off. Right? Am I wrong? Am I lying? I mean, no. Privately.
Privately, this has been discussed multiple times.
But publicly, why wouldn't you just bring him in?
Dude, that involves waking up a 5 and a half year old at 4 something in the morning.
Roar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it? Isn't that
a memory? Dude, do you understand how much effort it is to watch my child? It's not like he's just going to chill here.
What? I'll get donuts. He could just come in
and
eat.
That's a really bad idea.
Yeah. All right. I mean.
However.
I hate that you're having to use a day off.
No, it's fine. I'm actually happy to have the day off and spend it with him. Next month, though, I am taking a week off.
What?
Next month at the end of the month. Remember we kind of discussed this?
Yeah, did we ever figure that out? Because no, I'm also taking
We time. Might be paralleling a couple days, but it'd only be like 2.
I think we're both going to be gone.
No, I think the way we looked at it was we would miss maybe 2 days together.
Okay.
Shockingly, everyone, Dave's taking another week off next month.
You know what, dude? If you have the time off, you take it, right?
Oh, I'm not mad. I'd be doing the same damn thing.
If it was up to me, I'd just take it all. I'd just take like a month off this summer. Anyways.
Isn't that like the dream? A month off?
Yeah. Never happened.
Not in our business, no. Actually, not in a lot of businesses unless you have a bebé.
All right, let's finish off strong because that took me, you know, show's kind of stopped down here because I really am laughing in a sense.
Wow, you're laughing
you're
at me now?
You're taking a day off to watch a game. But, you know, wake up, have cereal together, maybe watch some cartoons,
oh,
right?
I'm taking him to breakfast.
Oh, good for you.
Yep. What,
you're taking him out for breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Shamania against Chris Flexen of Seattle, 9-3. That's Flexen. 7-10 first pitch right here in the Sporty 1140. A's up in Seattle taking on the Mariners. A fine time to be up in Seattle this time of year. And the final game of the Giants and Dodgers series. And what a matchup it is. Anthony Desclafani versus Walker Buehler, Texas Ranger.
Eye of the stranger.
Both with 10 wins. Both with sub-3 ERAs. Of course, wasn't it Gausman and Walker last time? Remember when we said it would be like 8-7?
I think so.
I think it was.
Maybe the Giants can actually give Desclafani a little bit of run support tonight.
They won't.
That'd be nice of them.
Walker Buehler will get his 11th win. The Dodgers win tonight
14-2.
4-1.
Oh.
4-1. We have a crossover?
We does.
Let's cross it over.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Douglas Dale Christie.
What's cracking?
I see it. Your team.
Oh,
Expansion
right.
Kraken are alive. They've got a roster.
Oh, darn it.
I thought it was Jason.
Douglas Dale Christie.
Hey.
Sorry.
What's cracking?
Just heard
I
this.
I see it. Your team.
Oh, that's
Expansion
right.
Kraken are alive. They've got a roster. They've got a team.
Yeah, they also got a bunch of dignitaries in the hit house.
They showed off with what? Lenny Wilkins, McLemore,
Kemp, Payton. Doing it big.
Lots of big wigs.
Yes.
Thought that was cool. Same idea, though, for you, Dave, and for you, Jay. If we got an expansion team, like if we got the Monarchs back.
Yes.
And Sacramento's hosting this event, they need what, 5 dignitaries?
5 big-time dignitaries. Who you guys lining up? Give us your list.
To help represent that new team in Sacramento.
Monarchs back in the hit house.
All right.
Also, Doug, they only caged the care not to show up yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
How about Doug?
So much for team morale.
The only member of the KHDK programming. Wow, I mean, I guess. Oh, what are you, some professional athlete?
Clearly intimidated by us on the Papa Shot.
Yeah, well, dude, because he would have gotten handed his lunch, and it would not have been from Sunrise Whole Foods, let me tell you that. Mm-mm. He would have been handed that lunch. Let's start with Yolanda Griffith, Ruthie Bolton Holyfield, and Tisha Panichero.
Wow, so three of the five are going to be former Monarchs?
Yes.
Can we combine them into like one pick, like the three of them announce it together?
Why? I think if the Monarchs ever returned.
Because as you saw with the Kraken yesterday and their legions of crackheads,
yeah,
they went all over the board. I really liked how they did it.
But the Kraken never existed before.
That's fine.
The Monarchs have.
Sure, so we could get one big, that trio should announce the number one pick.
I would go with those three. I would add in Jerry Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe bring in a, Chris Webber, Jason Williams.
So you're all sports.
Well, who else are you going with?
Well, they said Sacramento dignitary. I mean, that
Who's a Sacramento dignitary? You want...
I want LeVar Burton.
I mean, that would be fine.
Okay, so we're there.
That future Jeopardy host, I hope.
Uriah Faber.
Listen, no one's bigger Uriah Stan than I am.
That's not true.
Who's a bigger Uriah Stan?
I'll come up with something.
Okay. I would not put him... I would not bunch up three Monarchs legends so Uriah Faber can... be one of the five.
But the idea is you want to attract people to this expansion draft, and you want to hit every angle of this.
I understand that. Let me also say this. Uriah Faber or anyone else is not attracting anyone to... You're either going to be a Monarchs fan or you're not.
Not necessarily.
No one's going to be like, oh, Uriah Faber showing up for the fourth pick. I'm going to be a fan.
I guarantee you MMA fan is checking in to see who Uriah announces as the fourth round pick.
I would go with Tisha, Yo.
Ruthie. Jer Bear.
And you know what? Give Chris DeBlanc the fifth spot.
Who?
Chris DeBlanc, there, okay. Who I would imagine would be the play-by-play or analyst or whatever. I imagine she'd be on the
show. So it's an all-Monarch. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
Also,
maybe Tony the Tiger Lopez.
I'm just visualizing the Tony up there.
I'm trying to make it as diversely Sacramento
really
as possible.
We don't have dignitaries.
We do. Well, LeVar Burton is a dignitary.
LeVar Burton
sir.
Is. But what are we doing? Congresswoman Matsui?
That's a good one.
Daryl Steinberg?
Nah.
Oh, wow. Okay, shade at friend of the show, Daryl Steinberg. Dusty Baker?
Nah, not Dust.
Derek Lee?
Summer Sanders?
Summer would be a good one. Summer actually, she would be a good one. Now I'm going to get 50 questions.
Ringwald?
Molly Ringwald would be fantastic.
John Daly?
Greta Gerwig.
No.
What?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John Daly.
Relevant Oscar-nominated people. Okay.
John Daly, he's won several
I gotta ask a
of
crossover
tournament.
Here. I got to do a crossover. Crossover question, Jason and Doug. Very simple. This time tomorrow, the Olympics will be close to being underway. Scale of 1 to 10. I know I asked this before. I want to ask it again. Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you for the Summer Olympics? For Jay, I'm Dave. For Sam, I'm Dave. There you go. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye now. Love you. Go Kings.